And tonight it is my pleasure to introduce Kiki. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Kiki. I'm an addict. It's really good to be here and to share with all of you. I do have another speaker, whatever you call it, tape on the website, but I'm hoping to better that one. We'll see. So I'm going to talk to you a bit tonight about the steps from a secular perspective. I'm someone who came to NA. Went to my first meeting. It was Christmas night. That's how I remember, like the actual day. It was Christmas night of 1980. And I went with a friend of mine who took me because she had a court card. She was required to attend meetings to get out of some case that she had gotten over using. And we went to a place in Los Angeles that was called the Survivors Club. And it's somewhat well known because it existed, I don't know when it first opened, in the late 70s maybe, and maybe before that. But a lot of the early members of Narcotics Anonymous went there. But I went to this particular meeting. I'd never been to a meeting before. I'd heard of Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't really know much about NA. And of course, my thinking is, oh, I'm not that bad, right? I don't need to stop doing everything. I can stop, or I thought I could at the time. But I was curious enough to go. And for me, what stood out the most were people talking about God. And that was a real turnoff to me. I'm like, that is not the place for me. I'm not there to get God, Jesus, religion. I'm not there to get some sort of, conversion. So I'm not interested in that. So I did not go to another meeting for about another 2.5 years. And I feel fortunate that I didn't die in the interim. So part of my interest in secular NA, besides it fitting in with my own personal beliefs, is that my hope is that no one comes to Narcotics Anonymous and feels like they don't belong here because of language, because of people's beliefs, because of words that they hear or perception that this is a religious program. Well, it isn't. I've been able to practice recovery in Narcotics Anonymous for 42 years. I finally did get clean in 1983. And, through the years, I've tried to believe, I try to, have some sort of God in my life, thinking, well, maybe if I just tried that, it'll work for me, or, something will magically happen. But it never did. Because that's just not the way my thinking is. It's not my belief system. And, with 42 years clean, I'm here to tell you that you absolutely can have your own belief system or not. That one of the things I love about Narcotics Anonymous is that we have our own program here. We work the steps in a way that works best for us. And I love that about this program. And it works so well. I've been able to work these steps. And I'm here to tell you that I've worked many different kinds of formats over the years. I started working steps before there was much literature in Narcotics Anonymous. There was not a step working guide. I'm really grateful for that because, well, I don't much care for it. That's my personal opinion. But sometimes we used the big book of AA. We used what was available, resources we could find, and some people wrote their own formats. And I personally have some of those, and I've used some of them and I've adapted some of those. And today, when I sponsor someone and we're going through the steps, I tend to give people a choice of how they want to do it. Some people love to write, pages, pages, novels, well, nonfiction, hopefully. And other people, are more comfortable making lists. And I've become pretty adaptable that way. And I myself have done all kinds of different formats. I've done some of the step working guide, which is how I know that I don't personally like it. but that's my opinion. Your mileage may vary, as they say. So, when I was going through that struggle of coming to NA, being a newcomer, I came at a point where I was desperate. I finally got desperate enough. I had tried other things. I was always under some delusion that I could control my using. And I had to really figure out that I absolutely could not control my using, no matter what I did. And I tried various things. I went to the drug clinic. I was on drug substitutes. I went to doctors. I went to a hypnotist, actually. I went to an acupuncturist. I went to therapists. And not so much for my drug use because I didn't want to stop, but I thought, oh, I have all of this depression I'm living with. I just feel so awful all the time. And maybe if I could fix that, then I just wouldn't need to use all the time. I really didn't understand that this is a disease and it's not my fault. And I myself am not going to control it. Maybe there are people out there who can. I'm not one of them. And it took me a long time and things getting pretty bad in my life for me to finally say, okay, I guess I need to do something. I need to get serious about this. And for me, that was going to a therapist. That was refusing drug treatment. I refused to go into drug treatment. I decided to go into the psychiatric unit. That was my choice because somehow it seemed to be better to be labeled a little crazy than it was to be labeled a drug addict. So anyway, I went in there and Narcotics Anonymous found me anyway because there happened to be a drug unit in this facility on a different floor, and they had a meeting in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting in the basement of the hospital. So with the insistence of my therapist, I started going to meetings. And it didn't take me long to feel like I had some hope again. That here were people who would talk about their stories, and I believed that they had issues like I did, that their drug use was similar or worse than mine. And these people were clean and they were showing up, being social with one another. I finally believed that the people in NA were staying clean, or at least making good efforts at staying clean. And I decided I was going to continue to go to meetings. I didn't stop using right away. But the meetings really did affect me in a very deep and special way because I finally had that hope. I finally had a place to go where people were like me and were doing things to help themselves and to help each other. And that's when I finally, at least started hearing the steps all the time. I did not start doing any steps right away. I didn't get a sponsor right away. I didn't even stop using right away. But just the nature of being here and showing up is such, it's a powerful action that we do for ourselves and our own life. So it took me a couple months, but I finally worked the first step, which is admitting that I am completely powerless over my addiction. And I knew that if I kept using, maybe my life was manageable in certain ways at certain times. I mean, I had a job, right? But I didn't feel like my life was manageable, like I had anything under control, that I could function in life. I could pretend pretty well. I'd learned how to do that. I learned how to sort of, put on clothes and go to work and pretend like I'm doing something. And then I'd go out in the middle of the day and get loaded and, 2 hours later, find my way back to work. It was really kind of pathetic. But I had to finally look at that. And the first step broke me of the denial that I had about my using. And I had a lot of denial for a long time. And once I did that, and I realized, I really want to try this. I'm going to stay clean. I'm not going to use no matter what. I'm really going to stick with that. What I did is in the morning, I would wake up, I would read the little white book, which I think we still have around. I'd read it from cover to cover. I plan to go to one meeting and sometimes two meetings. Thankfully in 1983 in Los Angeles, there were already, a fair number of meetings, enough to where I could get to one or two every day. I had to do some driving sometimes, and things were not, as crowded then as they are now, so it was possible to do. But I made a commitment to my recovery. And the second step, when I read that and I started doing the second step, it was about believing in something other than my addiction, is the way I felt about it. That there was something that was going to help me, that I could turn to and believe in. And this program that I could practice, I believed from the start that Narcotics Anonymous was a power greater than myself. And certainly the people who were staying clean, who had been here and were practicing this, they certainly knew a lot more than I did. And I listened to them and I liked to be around them because I felt better. I felt hope. And, making that third step decision, when they say to turn your will and your life over. Now, I don't think I ever believed in God. I think I did fake it for a while, because that was the language that was used. And I knew that there were secular meetings in AA, and I had gone to a couple of them. So I did understand that this is my own personal journey to figure out, as it were, that I could come up with my own higher power and whatever that might be. And it was fine that that changed over time too, because the second step says we came to believe. It doesn't say we believe. And I really liked the difference in that we came to believe it's a process of discovering what works for us. And I can say that my higher power has always been my recovery and what I find here. I know, and I had a friend once who talked about her lower power being her addiction. And that made so much sense to me that my lower power, that thing that, can I say, fuck? There I just did. That thing that fucks with my head is my addiction. It's that illness that's in me that it's not necessarily obsession and compulsion anymore, but it is. My past history, a lot of times, it's feelings that I have trouble figuring out. It's feeling uncomfortable around people. It's telling myself a lot of negative thinking. It can be a lot of things. Today I can recognize. Okay, I see 5 minutes. You said, please don't acknowledge the message, which I just did. Sorry. Okay, so I'm talking about the difference between my addiction and my recovery. And today I see that as a very definite line that I can identify. And the rest of these steps have helped me to do that. Working the fourth step, I've written about my past. I've tried to sort out where those feelings have come from. I'm not always very good with forgiveness about things and people in the past. But today I live more in the present and I feel like I've healed from a lot of those things. I've been willing to share with people. I've had a variety of different sponsors. I have a sponsor still today and I trust her and I talk to her. And we mostly just chat and laugh and swear and, sort of mull about life together, which is great. I feel close to her and comfortable with her, but I've shared a fifth step with her. The sixth and seventh step, when we identify our defects, that's where I feel the addiction side of things. I possessed a lot of defects that served me well for many years, that kept me protected and safe and kept people away from me and made it possible for me to go about life in the only way I knew how. But as we recover and get older and experience more things, they don't necessarily serve us anymore. So, I've done an exercise with the seventh step after identifying my defects. I like to also identify the assets that myself and others I've worked with that we possess that can help us deal with our defects that we can use instead of that defect. And it's helped me a lot to have that sort of consciousness. And, willingness is a big part of that. It may or may not include a higher power, but willingness, I think, can be a conscious action, that we want to be better people. I know that I do. I'm not comfortable acting like an idiot anymore or an asshole. And, I still do because I'm still human, right? I'm still in recovering. But that's why this step is still invaluable to me. And making amends to people we've harmed, making that list. It took me many, many years to get through any sort of list. There were some people I didn't find until I was 25 years clean. Some people I've never made amends to because I decided it wasn't fair to them, to bring up the past or fair to me. Or dangerous to me. I'm not going to go look for, the connection I had that I ripped off. Let's put it that way. But trying to take care of these things, to have a clean house, so to speak, relieves a lot of that, feeling uncomfortable, feeling discomfort with ourselves. That's how I want to put it. And then, I'll speak a little bit about, I'm running out of time. So the 11th step was very important to me. And for me, working that was about meditation. I had a sponsor who sent me to this Buddhist place to learn how to meditate. And I went there for about 2.5 years doing meditation. And I decided, no, I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not going there. But what meditation taught me is that I can have a really deeper understanding about who I am and the way that I act and react in the world. And that to me has been really precious. Because I went through life and a lot of my recovery feeling very negative about everything. That was a very deeply ingrained habit that I wasn't even aware of most of the time. And through meditation, I was able to actually examine my thoughts and look at things that I wasn't even aware of and come to a deeper understanding of who I was and who I wanted to be. I think that that is the value of an 11th step, is finding a connection, be it with a higher power, your inner self, the universe. To me, a higher power is what we have here and what we share, which I think is understanding, compassion, and love for each other, and a desire to help each other, be there for each other, and walk each other home, as they say, right? And that's the 12th step, is that we do that with each other for each other. We're here to be of service, that we give it away in order to keep it. Because I think love doesn't mean anything. Love for what? Love is an unconditional compassion and understanding that we project outward. We can certainly give it to ourselves, and I think we each need it. We need to give that to ourselves. But working step 12 and learning how to do that for each other has really been the biggest gift that I've gotten here, I think. Because in sponsoring other women, I learned to be a better person, to be a person I never thought I'd be capable of being. To be understanding and patient, all these things I never was, but it feels pretty good, to live a life where I feel comfortable with myself and I'm at peace most of the time. I live in chronic pain and I have all these health issues and I'm stuck at home most of the time and I get irritable and cranky and I get, feeling antisocial and all sorts of things that I'm dealing with. So in recovery, life is changing all the time, and we always have challenges and things to deal with and grief and people dying, and we have wonderful experiences. I've been able to get closer to my family. I've had friends. I've been able to travel and work and have careers and own a house and all of these things that go along with recovery. But those are just the benefits, the side benefits of being here and being able, to say, because I'm not using today, I can live a life. And I'm willing to accept whatever comes my way. I'm up for it today. This program has given me a beautiful life that I'm so grateful for. And I'm really glad to be a part of this group. I've met some really nice, wonderful people here. And I'm just glad that I could share with you all today. And thank you for having me here.